Good morning. I hope you're well. My name is Max. It's such a privilege to be able to kick us off this morning. We're going to have a lot of fun. We are starting a new preaching series on the topic of prayer this morning. And over the next few weeks, just as Steve said, we're going to be looking through the Lord's Prayer specifically. So I hope you've all got your flat pack manuals handy. You're reaching for it. Like I said, we're going to be looking through the Lord's Prayer specifically just to help us assemble and build a better prayer life in our own lives, pun intended. You probably don't have to be a Christian to have heard of the Lord's Prayer. It's one of the most well-known parts of the Bible for us. But I don't know what comes to mind when I talk about the Lord's Prayer. When I say the Lord's Prayer, I don't know if that takes you back to sort of school assembly, or you might have just seen it on an old film or something somewhere. Or I know I was at a funeral once, and they just sort of halfway through, just almost like a bit of a mantra, just sort of brought out the Lord's Prayer. But it's one of the clearest that the Scripture and God Himself gives us. It's one of the clearest parts of the Bible that it gives us on how to pray, like what we should pray and how we should pray. And if you're anything like me, when I'm praying, sometimes my mind just goes blank, or I just run out of words, or I don't really know what to pray about, or necessarily, you know, where my prayers are going. And God has given us a really good structure in how to structure our prayer lives and what our prayer should look like. It doesn't necessarily have to be word for word, but God's given us a structure in how we should pray and what it should look like and what we should be praying about. So again, like I was saying, we're just going to chew it over the next few weeks and just take it line by line and just help us to sort of digest and again assemble a better prayer life for ourselves. So this morning we're going to be looking at the first line of that, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And just before we get into that in Matthew chapter 6, I don't want to assume that everybody knows what prayer is. Right? Prayer, we define it as simply talking to God. Okay? Prayer is simply just talking to God, communicating with God, right? Chatting to God. And you can kneel down, you can stand up, you can lay down, you can ride a bike, you can pray in the bath. Personal favorite. Prayer is simply talking to God, right? Whatever language feels comfortable to you, however you want to pray, again, it's just talking to God. It's chatting to God, knowing God as a friend and a father. So we want to learn how to do that a little bit better this morning. Graham's just going to come up, and I say read through the Lord's Prayer, but let's pray it along in our hearts with him. Let's, you know, let's make this our prayer this morning.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. Thank you, God. Well, we're going to break this down just a little bit further over the next sort of 30 minutes. We're going to look at Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven. So our, this tiny three-letter word, which packs a mighty punch. And you could absolutely be forgiven for just sort of reading over this tiny little word, right? Our. But I love the fact that that's the way Jesus teaches us how to pray. Teach us to pray our Father. I notice it's not just my Father. It's not just the Father or Father. It's our Father. Right from the beginning, Jesus teaching, there is a corporate element to the word our. As well as a personal, there's a corporate call to our Father. Like we are to outwork something of prayer as a community. Like this is something that's bigger than just me and my faith. Like Jesus does teach us to pray privately as well. Even just a few verses before this, he says, you know, pray. Make sure you do make a habit of private prayer. And he warns against that. Don't be like the hypocrites who like to pray out long, lengthy prayers with big theological words and spiritual language. I don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with a good belter of a prayer. But what he's saying is the heart of it, like we were saying earlier, is to talk to God, is to know God personally. However, there is also a corporate element to that. We are to outwork something of what it means to pray and to know God together. Our, right? Part of a church, part of a family. We are part of a community together. And that's what partly Sundays are about. Like, we don't just come here this morning just to meet with God. Right, we don't come just to meet with God. We come to meet with one another. You think about it. The whole Christian life is about meeting with God. The whole Christian life on a day-to-day basis is about meeting with God. If you've accepted Jesus, he has poured his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into your hearts, not just a spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is alive and at work in you. You should expect to meet with God on a day-to-day basis, right? Meeting with God is a daily experience for us as believers. Sundays are about working that out together. That's why it says in Colossians and Ephesians, it says, sing to one another spiritual songs, psalms, and hymns. Right? It doesn't just say sing to God. It says sing to one another. Declare the gospel and the truth of God together. Declare it to one another. Work out what it means to walk and to know God as a family. That's what I love about Sundays. It's like a big family reunion. We get to come together before our God and work out what that means together in the lives and community of one another. That's what it says, that we are like living stones, right? Full of the Spirit of God. We are like living stones. That when we come together on a Sunday, we make up the temple of God. Right? We make up the dwelling place of God happens that when we come together, right? The church isn't just these four walls. We are the church, the people, the sons and daughters of God. The living stones, that when we come together, that's why Jesus says, look, where two or more are gathered, when two or more gather in my name to pray, when two or three are gathered, surely I'm in your midst. Jesus says, surely I am with you. Like, you have my attention. Like, your voices literally become louder. Like, he joins us at the family table. When we come together and pray, we come together as these living stones. And we have a great opportunity to work that out together in just a few weeks. At the beginning of every term, we start with a couple of weeks of prayer and fast together. We get together as a whole site, all four sites of Church Christ the King, meet together again, and we get together and spend 2 weeks of just seeking God. And I love those weeks. If you've ever been before, you know how great they are. It's, you know, as Joel, the senior pastor, often says, they were like, I was there moments. I was there when God said that. I was there when that was prophesied, when we prayed for that, or when we see that prayer answered. I encourage you and urge you, come along to those. Come along to those family reunions where we get to work out prayer together. But I do just want to take this opportunity as well, just to plug our site altogethers. Right? We don't just meet on Sundays. We also meet as a site and a community in the week on Wednesdays. And I want to plug our site altogethers because, friends, it's so important. We're taking the Lord's Prayer seriously, that we are in regular context where we can pray together. We can work out what it means to be the people of God together. Do you hear me? It's not just sort of like an evening off of small group. It's vital to us. Right, the site altogether, they are so important. And the early morning prayer meetings that we have on Sunday mornings, they're so vital to the life of this site. Again, that we are regularly working out and walking through our knowledge of God with one another in the community, that living stone coming together. And if you're not in a small group, I urge you, join a small group. Again, we don't just meet on Sundays, but we meet in smaller groups around Hove. In fact, something I love about this site is, for most of us, we all live about sort of 5 or 10 minutes of walking distance of one another. There's such a great neighbourly community feel to the Hove site. But I urge you, come and join a small group. Come and be part of a small group. I know, like, Dan and Heather, my small group leaders, I don't think they're here this morning, but they do such a great job in leading us in prayer most weeks and teaching us what it is to be together in God. And I tell you that they are some of the most amazing times that we've had as a small group. It's in those times that we're before God together, that is just bond. There's such a bonding that comes. And we've shared such, you know, times of sort of celebration and joy and praise before God and real vulnerability and openness. And those times of just seeking God together. And there's been some amazing answers to prayer for our small group. It's been brilliant. It's just one night we were praying together and someone just kind of said, I can't pay my rent this week. I'm broke, I've got nothing left, you know, I'm still looking for a job, so on and so forth. And it's just this amazing time where everyone just said one by one, like, I'm in, and I managed to cover their rent for the next couple of months. It's just this amazing moment where being the family of God together in prayer just brought this bond and this unity. And so friends, you know, maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe you've just been looking in for a couple of weeks. I want to urge you, come and join us. Come and be part of this community. Like, we're not just a sort of closed, insular community. We want to get to know you, want to serve you, want to love you, want to hear your story. Come and join what we're about, and knowing God together, working that out as the community, as we pray, as we seek God, and learn what that is to do that together. But it's not just a corporate hour. There's a real intimacy that comes with this, and it's like, I've been thinking about this the last couple of weeks. It's like Jesus is like, he's putting his arm around you, and he's saying, it's our Father. It's our Father, it's my Father, and he's your Father too. As much as he's my Father, he's now your Father. And you get that really amazing part, you know, where in the Gospels, where Mary Magdalene runs to the temple on Easter morning to find the body of Jesus, and she meets the resurrected Jesus. She sees Jesus in his glory, and she clings on to him, and he says, I'm going now. I'm going to my Father, and he's now your Father. He's my Father, and he's your Father too. And there's just this amazing bit. Jesus is opening the Lord's Prayer, and he's saying, he's our Father. And it's like he's taking you by the hand, and he's saying, look, we can come to the Father. Just as much as God delights and loves Jesus as his beloved Son, the same is true of you. And if you hear nothing else this morning, then hear me on that. That just as much as God loves and delights and sings and praises over his Son, Jesus, the same is true of you. Right? We are in Christ. If you've come to accept Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says we are as good as in Christ. Right? When we come, when we say, you know, in the name of Jesus, it's not just some sort of password. It's not just some sort of like hashtag that we add on to the end of our prayer life. Da 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 da, amen, in Jesus' name. It means, no. We come in the name of Jesus. We come in the authority of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, the love, the acceptance, the delight of our Savior Jesus. Like, we are clothed in him before the Father. And there's this really lovely picture of this in Genesis, which I've been reading through over the last couple of weeks. Where you get Isaac, who's sort of one of the fathers of the faith, one of the patriarchs. And he's later on in life, and he's sort of slowly dying, and his eyesight's going, and he's just, you know, kind of losing his marbles a little bit. And he's ready to pass on his blessing to his eldest son, Esau. And that's what you did in the ancient world. You passed on your blessing and your inheritance to the eldest son. But his younger son, Jacob, sort of dresses up like Esau, you know, puts on this like hairy garment. Esau was like a hairy beast, so he puts on all this like fur, and he puts on his cologne and whatever, does his hair like his older brother. And he comes up to Isaac, who is, you know, pretty much blind now. And there's just this amazing bit where Isaac just grabs his son and he just pulls him in and just smells him. He's like, oh, the aroma of my son, the delight of my son, the joy and the blessing that he passes on to him. And it's this wonderful picture that we come clothed in Jesus. We come clothed in the righteousness, the perfection of Jesus before the Father. And we're met with that same embrace, that smell, that love, my son, my daughter, it's so good. And we receive that blessing that should rightly be given to Jesus. We are met with that same fatherly embrace as we come clothed in Jesus. Difference being, we're not deceiving God. Like, God knows full well who you are by name. Your son, his daughter, that he loves to just pull before you and lavish his love on. Like, when we draw close to God, we come in Jesus, and we come together as a family. We come as the our Father. This is our Father. Our Father. Now, I feel we could spend absolutely, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks just chewing over what it means to know God as a Father. Like, God is, like, Jesus is teaching us, like, when we pray to God like he's your dad. That's what that word Abba means. It means dad, father. He is our Father in heaven. He's our Father. He is your dad. He's not just God Almighty. That's who he is. And in fact, I really, really love that new song. I think it's new anyway, that we've been singing recently. Like, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. Because at the very heart of who God is, he's a Father. You ever wonder what God was doing before creation? You ever wonder what God was doing before he created the universe? Before he had a race to save? Before he had a human race that he had to save and provide and love? What was God doing before creation? He was and is a Father loving his Son in the joy and the power of the Holy Spirit. Right, this triune community, right, the one God in three persons of Father, Son, and Spirit. Before creation, the Father eternally loving his Son, and the Son loving the Spirit, and the Spirit loving the Son and glorifying the Father. That's who God is. At the very core of who God is a Father loving his Son in the joy and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we have been called into. Right at the beginning of our prayer, that's what we're called into. Right? So what it means to be baptized, right, immersed, drenched into the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We're called into that fatherly son relationship. Right, when we come to God, we get to know him as a loving Father. It's like I said, God isn't just like a father, or just sort of has fatherly attributes. It's who he is. That's who the God of the Bible is. That's who Jesus is revealing God to us as, our Father. Pray like this, our Father in heaven, our Dad who loves us, who accepts us, who knows us. And it's just important that we start in that place. That seems like quite an obvious thing, doesn't it? But you need to start with God the Father. You need to start with that place of love and acceptance. We need to start there. Because if your prayer life is anything like my prayer life, we don't often start there. And I don't know if you've ever heard something like this before, but I've heard people teach before that you should try praying the Lord's Prayer upside down. I don't know if you've ever heard anything like that or read anything, but I've heard a couple of people say to me, mate, you should try praying the Lord's Prayer upside down. Don't do that. It's very, very silly. It's like, say, here's the Lord's Prayer. Now let's turn it upside down. Let's do it completely different. Let's just mess it up. But the irony is, we often do. Again, if your prayer life is anything like my prayer life, then I can often start further down the list. I can often start, you know, forgive us our sins. You know, what does the first few minutes of your prayer life look like? Like, when you start praying, what does the first few minutes of your prayer life look like? Because like I said, for me, I can start further down the list. You know, I can start with sort of, oh God, I'm so sorry. It's been an awful day. It's just been an awful week. I feel so unworthy. I feel so unclean. I don't know how you could ever love me or accept me. Sometimes I start with, give us today our daily bread. You know, I start with provision. God, I really need this. God, I've got an exam coming up, or I've got this deadline to meet. I've got this project at work that's driving me crazy. God, would you please help me? God, I'm trying to find a flat, and so on and so forth. And look, none of those prayers are necessarily wrong in themselves, right? It's not wrong to ask God for provision. It's not wrong to say sorry. But we'll get there. It's further down the list. It's further down the agenda for God. We start with our Father in heaven. Right, we start with that love and acceptance and the joy and that embrace that we find in Jesus, that embrace of knowing God as a Father. And that's the heart. That is, honestly, that is the heart of the Christian faith, is to know God, is to know him personally. And I was out for dinner with a few friends on Friday night. I was just out with a few mates from work. And I got talking to one of my colleagues, and he was just like, oh, you know, well, religion's all the same, isn't it? You know, it's all just about loving people. You just be good to people. Basically, don't be horrible. You know, that's what religions say. They all say the same thing, right? All the religions, you know, just be nice. Be nice to people. And I was like, yeah, well, to some degree, yeah, that is true. I can't think of many religions that say be horrible to people. And Jesus did say, love your neighbor, you know, love one another. My command I give to you is that you love one another, right? Love your neighbor. But I said, look, mate, that's a very sort of horizontal approach to Christianity. I was like, yeah, that's an outworking. It's actually about the vertical. I said, look, the heart of it is that you know God personally. You know the person of God. I said, look, I've come to know the person of God. The reason I love is because I've first been loved. The reason I want to forgive and love and do good is because I've had good done to me. And I've been loved by a father. I said, look, it's about knowing God as a person, the reality of who God is. And I've been looking through a few of the prayers in the Bible just sort of over the last few weeks, just sort of, you know, thinking and preparing over this message. And I was looking over one of Jesus' other really famous prayers in John chapter 17. Or sometimes what we call the high priestly prayer. And again, I came across this line, which I found really, really interesting. I'll read it to you. She starts with praying, Father. Again, starts with Father. It says, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you have granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you. Isn't that interesting? It's what the Bible defines eternal life as. Eternal life isn't just living for eternity. Jesus is saying, look, eternal life is that they would know you, God. That they would know the one and true God and Jesus Christ, the fact that they would know you. That's the beauty for us this morning, that we've met the person of God. We're not just following rules and a religion and just sort of, you know, acting like sort of like robots that are just told what to do by some random book. We've met the resurrected Jesus. We've met the person of God, that we can have relationship with him, that we get to know him as our Father first and foremost. And again, if you're looking in this morning and, you know, maybe again you've been with us a few weeks, you can know God. You can come and you can know the person of God in your life. You can know him. And maybe your prayer this morning is simply just, God, introduce yourself to me. Or help me to introduce myself to you. But that's what Jesus is defining eternal life as, the fact that we would know God. Friends, it's so important that we start in that place. Do you hear me? Does that make sense? That we start with the Father. We start with that place of acceptance and love, relationship. I don't know, you know, when you phone your, you know, your mum or dad or whatever, I don't know if it just starts with sort of requests and sorries, or it's usually, hey, how are you? Let's chat. Let's hang out. It's a relationship. Like, we come in Jesus. And the irony is, God already knows what you want. He already knows what you need, and he's already forgiven you. We start with a Father. We start in this place of acceptance and love, and there is peace with God. There's no condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And I find it really interesting, the way that Paul begins a lot of his letters that he writes to the Apostle Paul, writes a lot of his letters to the churches throughout the New Testament, and especially in the book of Ephesians, he starts by writing that and praying for them that they would know God. He prays that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened, the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know and to understand God better. He doesn't pray for their circumstances, he doesn't pray for forgiveness, he simply prays that they would know the God who walks us through our circumstances and forgives us our sins. Isn't that amazing? That is a relationship. Our Father that we can come to together. Father in heaven. Now, I just want to pause on that for a moment, because that can almost sound a little bit distant, right, if you read that quickly, right? Our Father, who's not quite here, or our Father, who's somewhere up on the clouds with a big white beard. It can sound really distant. Our Father, who's just, I don't know, out there somewhere. And yes, although that is true, God is in heaven, he is just as much alive by the power of his Holy Spirit amongst us. Right? God is, yes, in heaven, but he's also just as much as alive by the power of his, by the power of his Spirit at work in you. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to the Father now, but I won't leave you as orphans. I will send my Holy Spirit. I will send the Spirit of adoption, that through the Son we may know God the Father as reality. But when we look to God in heaven, it speaks of his glory, his sovereignty, his rule, his reign, his kingship, his kingdom. I mean, you look around. I remember, especially before I became a Christian, before I met Jesus, I always used to think, if this is it, like if this is all this life has to offer, it seems really hopeless at times. Like, life can be really dark. I was like, if this is it, and especially lately, you know, just as Steve was praying earlier, it's just been a weird time for our nation in general, sort of like post-Brexit and just the sort of politics and just feeling a bit leaderless and visionless. Pokemon Go has given us a nice distraction, but it is quite funny. It went like one day my Facebook feed went from sort of like, you know, all about politics and blah, 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 to just being all about Pokemon. It's so funny, isn't it? It's so fickle. But when you look around, you know, you think, man, what? Like, life just seems out of perspective sometimes, and it just seems like, what on earth is going on? Like, what's the reason? And it just helps me that when I look up and I see that there is the tomb is empty and there's someone who sat on the throne, the peace that actually there is someone who is ruling over creation. There's someone who's ruling over history. There's someone that history is pointing towards. And amongst the mess and the ups and the downs, there is someone who is reigning on our behalf for our good. There's someone who has a rulership. There's someone who's in charge of it all. There's someone who's working all things together for our good and his glory. And I shared this story a while ago, but I'll share it again. I find it a really helpful illustration. But there's this picture. I can't remember the artist, I'm sorry. But it was put up in this gallery. And it was a picture of like Mary holding the baby Jesus, which isn't necessarily relevant, but there's this picture, and she was sort of standing like in front of all these mountains and these hills, and there was all these like trees, and it got put up in this gallery, and it just got slated for a while, just because it seemed like a really bad picture. Like it was just like really badly drawn. Like it was just all out of perspective, and it was like the hills were way too, like the foreground was like much closer than it should have, and the trees looked like really small, and the baby was much bigger than the mom, and it was just like this just messy picture that just looked... It just looked terrible, right? It just looked really like out of perspective and messy. And it was not nice to look at. And so people slated it. They were like, it's rubbish. It's just a rubbish picture. And then one day, someone just decides to get on their knees before this picture. I don't know if that was like reverence or something, but they get on their knees before this picture, and then they look up at it. And then suddenly, it's just like, this picture, it all just falls into perspective, and so like the mountains and the hills like get further back and the trees grow taller and the sort of baby takes perspective of the mum, and it turns into this amazing, like beautiful picture that just makes perfect sense. And it turns out that the picture had been written from the perspective of prayer. And there's something about them when we get to our knees, metaphorically or literally, like when we get before God, there's something that helps us just to take perspective. There's something of the world around us. It just seems to make sense. You know, the Bible talks about, in Isaiah 40, it talks about sort of being on wings like eagles. Now, it doesn't mean just like being free and flying. It means like there's a perspective You get caught up in the heavenly perspective of God. And we see the authority and the reign and the rule and the kingdom that is making its way to earth and already has. And we'll look at that in a bit more detail next week. But I just love that the opening line of the Lord's Prayer, for me, really helps to just lift my eyes. Right? I often just start down here, I'm so sorry, or I need this, or God, come and meet me in this circumstance, or so on and so forth. And it's just our. We're not alone. There's a family and a community. Father in heaven, who's ruling and reigning. And friends, I urge you this morning, as we stand in a moment or two, just to come and worship again before our God. And one of the things I love doing in worship, I just like looking around the room. I'm not judging anyone, or I'm not sort of scoping out who's deep in worship. I just love looking around. Like I said earlier, just like the family reunion, just the people of God, the beauty of what it means to be a family of God together. The hour. Coming to know God as our Father. Coming to meet the one who is reigning on the throne. The person of God, that you can know him intimately, personally. Hallowed be your name, right? Holy, set apart, different, other. God is in a league of his own. He is a holy, holy, holy God. We start with praise. Now, I said this last week, that we usually start our meetings on Sunday with like a song of worship. It's not just like a token song, just to sort of get everybody going. It says in Psalm 100, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We start with the hallowed. We start by, God, we come to praise you. We start by just saying you're incredible and we love you. And I'll pray about things I want to pray about later, but God, I'm starting with you. I'm starting with the fatherly welcome and the embrace of knowing you personally in the authority and love and acceptance of Jesus. Amen. Should we stand and worship?